Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's a Catholic apologist on a plane traveling to and fro in order to spread the gospel and meet all kinds of nice folks who support what we do here at Catholic Answers. You know who I am. I'm Trent Horan, Catholic apologist and speaker. And you know what show this is. And if you don't, welcome. Glad that you're here. This is the Council of Trent, where we talk about all things Catholic, how to explain and defend our faith, how to answer attacks against it, respond to objections, and how to spread the gospel in a gracious and compelling way. But as has become now a tradition here on the show, on Fridays, we let our hair down, unbutton our top collar of our shirt, roll up our sleeves, and just relax a little bit. It's been a long week for all of us, and just talk about something fun. It is Free for All Friday here on the Council of Trent podcast. And today, before I get to our topic of the day, I do want to give a shout out and thanks to our premium subscribers. Thank you so much for making Council of Trent podcast possible. We are growing with patrons. Very excited about that. Now that we've surpassed 350 patrons, we will be able to implement the video elements here soon. I've just got some new equipment and software I'm going to be trying out probably over the weekend or on Monday, and then hopefully in the next 2 weeks we will roll some of that out for you all. Your support has made that possible, and because of your support, premium subscribers get access to our extra bonus content, like the first chapter of my Why We're Catholic audiobook, and bonus content that we will be releasing next week. Want to learn more about that? Consider making a donation, even as little as $5 a month. Keeps the podcast going, gives you access to great content over at TrentHornPodcast.com. And now, for our Free For All Friday podcast, it's a bird, it's a plane, no, it's a Catholic apologist on a plane. Catholic apologist on a plane. Someone should make a movie about that. Well, that's my life. I'm traveling to and fro today, actually. Of course, I'm recording this podcast a few days earlier, but when you listen to this podcast today on Friday, I will be in Fort Wayne, Indiana, giving some talks there, speaking at a local Catholic high school, and speaking at a parish there on how to talk about tough moral issues. Very excited to meet the folks there. We've got a lot of great events planned. And usually, on average, I'm traveling about probably about two times a month. Some months are a bit more hectic. It could be three, maybe even four trips if I let them slip by me. I try not to travel that much. I have a very strict traveling schedule, but I do travel a lot. So on today's podcast, I want to walk you through Trent's travel tips, three T's, T cubed, whatever you want to call it. These are my Trent travel tips for flying on airplanes. I was sitting down with my wife a few days ago. We're talking about how often I fly because she barely flies at all. I think she's going to fly to go see a friend's wedding here pretty soon. Going to leave me with the kids. I'm going to be Mr. Mom for a day. Remember that movie, Mr. Mom, Michael Keaton, great film. I'm going to be Mr. Mom trying to, you know, feed the baby beans. And actually, my kids love beans. I don't necessarily love beans, especially the after effects. But I'll be taking care of them while she travels. But no, but that's a rarity. I'm the one who travels a lot. And so we were talking about that, and Laura asked me, how many hours have you spent on an airplane in your life? And I said, oh, if I had to do, on average, at least in my adult life, hundreds, and it may have, it's probably crossed over 1,000 hours by now. When I travel in the United States, the average length of my flight, probably about two and a half hours. Sometimes I get to go on little short hops, and I love those because I don't have to be gone from my family too long. You know, here based in San Diego, sometimes I do talks in Northern California, Arizona, Las Vegas, very quick 1 hour jaunt there and back. And so I enjoy that. What's ironic is here in California, sometimes it's quicker for me to take a train up the coast than it is to take a plane. Like if I'm going up to Santa Barbara or San Luis Obispo. And I love the California train system. I've always been a big train guy. You know, I love going to the San Diego Model Railroad Museum. My pledge to my wife is that when I'm finished with apologetics and I've completely answered every single question there is about the Catholic faith and I've hit my age to retire, I just want to be at home and build my little model railroad because I like trains, the inner five-year-old in me. But I also like planes. And so I sometimes go on much longer flights. And I've gotten to the point now where I kind of sleepwalk through going through airports, going through security, travel is just kind of now second nature to me, as it is for many other Catholic apologists who go and speak. I mean, we enjoy it. I mean, I do enjoy meeting people. And there's something about, you can watch a talk on YouTube, but going to meet a person and engaging them in a live audience, especially traveling to do conferences, it's wonderful. And I enjoy meeting people. Though I will say, the one thing that it is hard, when I was single and I would go and travel, I mean, I would just be gone. I remember when I was a single young man doing my pro-life evangelism work, I would travel to different cities and I would load up my schedule. I eventually moved out of my apartment. I was renting an apartment in Wichita, Kansas. Any of my listeners, if you ever live in Wichita, I lived on the east side of the city. I think it was Central and Rockledge was like the cross streets there. I was by a Dillon's. They had a really great deli where I would get food cooked for me, being a young man unable to cook for myself. And, you know, I would travel all over, and I moved out of my apartment because I did the math and I was only there 3 or 4 days out of the month. Why am I paying for an apartment? I just ended up paying a friend to sleep in his spare bedroom nightly, like a little bargain hotel. And then so when I was single and doing events, you know, you go, you stay there, you maybe stay a day or two, take in the sights, meet new people. Now it's just, well, time to go home to my wife and children, get me on that 6 a.m. flight the next day. On my way home. So I travel a lot, keep a rigorous schedule. I've learned some tips along the way that I thought would be helpful for you all, depending on how often you travel, even if it's once or twice or you have an upcoming trip, whatever it may be. I in the airports, we have a kind of Zen connection. So let me share all of that with you. So to start, how do you plan a good trip? How do you make sure you have a good airline excursion? It all starts with the planning. It all starts with the planning at the very beginning when you buy your ticket. I recommend that it's great to use sites like Orbitz or Expedia to compare, compare flights. Be careful though. Clear your cookies, clear your browser after you do search a few times because they track what you search for. I mean, you can see this all the time. Sorry about that. I've got a little bit of something stuck here in the back of my throat. But you didn't hear the cough because here in Catholic Answers, we've got this great little cough button. I just push it right in front of me. And see what I did there? I could mute it so you don't have to hear me coughing my way in through the microphone. If you want to book a trip, use Expedia, use Orbitz. Clear your browser, clear your cookies, though, after you search a few times. Because if it knows you're looking for a particular flight, when you come back to it, the flight will mysteriously go up a little bit and be more expensive because their search algorithm knows you want that particular flight. That's also why sometimes in your email, you get little emails from Southwest or other airlines, and it'll say, hey, book your great fare to Orlando, you know, because I just gave a talk in Orlando not too long ago. Oh, it's like, and so I was looking at the flights, and I get an email a week later, hey, you want to finish booking that? They're always watching you on the internet. So use Orbitz, use Expedia, and remember, I don't know how you feel about Southwest Airlines. I love Southwest. I'm not paid to say this, but I love it. I love their customer service. I love their planes. I feel like they have great maintenance issues. They take care of everything. They have wonderful customer service. So I tend to fly on Southwest. Now, some people don't like Southwest because there are not assigned seats. You get free bags. That is a huge perk to have that. That cuts down your costs a lot. But if you're one of the later people who checks in, you're kind of at the mercy of whatever seat is open to you. You got a jockey for position. Now, because I fly Southwest so much, I am a Rapid Rewards and A-List member. So I'm one of the first few people there on the plane. I'm one of the first few people there. And so I'm able to get a pretty decent seat. However, sometimes if you compare flights, Southwest, you can pay, I think, an extra $12.50 each leg for early bird check-in. It can be worth it because that could still be cheaper than going with another carrier. And if you factor in things like free bags, it can definitely be a lot cheaper. So use the different sites to compare both, you know, like Southwest doesn't show up on Expedia or Orbitz. They're not part of that deal. So you might want to search there and search just regular airlines. That's what I do sometimes when I want to know if I want to travel somewhere, what's kind of available. And our seminar coordinator does the same thing. And you know, she'll present these to me like, hey, here's the different flights you can choose from. However, when you do want to book the flight, I highly recommend, this is the same with your hotel, book it directly with the company. Don't book it through Expedia or Orbitz because it's always a nightmare when you have a customer service issue, you need to change something, you got a problem. If you booked it through a third-party website, I've always dealt with headaches trying to get that figured out when it's been booked through a third-party website. I feel like it's a lot easier. Just you want that flight, search for it on Expedia. Oh, it's American? book directly with American. This is the hotel, book directly with the hotel. Because if it's booked directly with them, they have a lot more latitude in changing things and working with you if there's problems or delays or you have to change something up. So search vast, book narrow, directly with the website of the group that you're dealing with. You'll save yourself a lot of headaches later. Next, when you're packing, try to get a small carry-on bag. Don't try to chance it with an oversized carry-on, because then you're that guy who's got to take down their bag, take it back up through the aisle, get it gate checked. And having just something smaller, it's not checking bags is the greatest thing ever. I try so hard not to check my luggage, because I can just get there, get on the plane, get off the plane, and I'm on my way. I don't have to be delayed at the baggage carousel. I don't have to worry about my stuff being lost. The one time I checked luggage, I was spending a long time doing a three-night mission in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I get there, my bag is not there, and I'm speaking that night. So thankfully, I was dressed in somewhat decent clothes. It was still jeans and a polo that I was wearing. So jeans and a polo here. And I have to laugh because the day today that I am recording this show is Halloween. Some of our staff members have dressed up in all kinds of colorful, zany costumes, and they just walked by and have attracted my interest and attention, including someone rocking a very long blonde wig but having a very dark, thick beard, and that is all I will leave it at for fun and zaniness here at Catholic Answers. So I lost my bag, and I go there, and I give the talk to this parish, and I told the funny story that I lost my bag. Thankfully, I wasn't in just, like, you know, shorts and a T-shirt, which I sometimes do fly in. I had at least a polo and some presentable jeans, gave my talk, got my bag back. But try to get smaller bags, I find are helpful for carry-on. It's easy just to load in, sit down, and get going. But the easiest thing is to have a carry-on bag and then one personal bag. You're allowed one carry-on and one personal. Ladies usually have a purse that makes things easy. Guys, I mean, you know, we have the satchel, the man bag. Indiana Jones had a satchel, so it's okay. Or, excuse me. I use a backpack. I travel everywhere I find a backpack to be really helpful. It evenly distributes my weight of the things that I'm carrying, because I usually have a power cord, a laptop. Honestly, one of the things I love the most about traveling to speak on behalf of Catholic Answers, I can get a lot of work done when I travel. I'm not in the office. There's no meetings. There's no one who's coming who has news for me. I can just sit, and I've got my little office in the sky at 35,000 feet, and I have my little MacBook Air. I just got a newer computer to use some of the video elements here on the podcast, but my older MacBook Air, I purposely got the smallest one. It's only an 11-inch screen, but it fits right on the tray table. And so in the bag, I keep a lot of stuff. That way I don't have to rifle through and get up and go into my carry-on bag. What I would need before, during, and after, shortly after the flight is just there in my backpack. So if you're ladies, you have a larger bag, larger purse, this can also work well for you. This is what I try to pack in my travel bag. That way I don't have to get into my carry-on bag. So number one, it's nice to have this bag because you can put your items for security. When you have to go through TSA, I take out my wallet, my keys, my cell phone, and I just put it right in the front zipper part of my bag. I know it's there. I know it's safe. And I keep an eye on it. I don't care if the TSA gives me dirty looks. I don't go through the metal detector or the rapy scan, which unfortunately looks like rapy scan, their old scanner technology, the full body scanner. I don't step into there until I see my bag go on the conveyor and it goes through into the X-ray. And then there's no line, and so I can be scanned and go and watch my bag go out the other end. Because I have read stories about people who have had their stuff stolen right there because there's a bottleneck at TSA. They send their bag through. They get stuck behind three people, and somebody on the other end steals their bag or takes stuff out of their bag or takes stuff out of the little bowls with their key and their wallet in it. Don't let that happen to you. Be assertive. Just say, no, I'm going to wait until the line is through, and then I'm going to go through. I'm going to wait until my bag goes through. So in your bag, here's things I recommend. An empty water bottle, because you can't take liquids through, but if you have an empty water bottle, you can fill it up at a restaurant on the other side, and boom, you don't have to pay $3 or $4 for water. Also, extra food for your meals. A lot of times when I'm doing this travel, airport food is expensive, not that great, or sometimes I'll get there. I go on flights back to the East Coast. Those can be 4 or 5. My longest one recently was 6 hours. And so when I fly back east, it's hard. I'll leave in the morning, and then I get there, it's 4 or 5 o'clock, and it's time for dinner. And lunch just kind of disappeared, and I don't want to order that airline food. So pack food before you go in your carry-on bag. You can't take liquids through, but you could take a sandwich, chips, No fish. Try to be considerate of the other passengers. Take stuff that's not messy, not smelly. That'll keep you full and will save you 10, 15 bucks at an airport restaurant. Also pack sanitary wipes. The little Clorox, it's not Clorox wipes, but they're these, you know, sanitary wipes. Wipe down, tray table, anything you might touch, armrests, everything around you. I've had people appreciate because I wipe down the armrests that they're going to use. They've been very appreciative. And I'm someone who travels once every 2 weeks. And I, thanks be to God, have not gotten sick in a really, really long time. I think at our home, what usually happens is we have a baby, we get sick for like 2 or 3 months to all of us be exposed to the germs of the world, and then 2 or 3 years, you know, 2 years, we're fine. And then, you know, if there's another baby, we get sick again for a month or two, and then we're fine again for a few years. We pay for years of health with a month of sickness. But when I travel, I make sure there's all kinds of germs everywhere. So wiping down with sanitary wipes, keeping plastic bags, put your trash in or put your toiletries in is helpful. And also just where you're going, just make sure, just wash your hands. That is the number one thing to say to keep yourself from getting sick when you travel. Wash your hands everywhere you go before you eat a meal, before you apply makeup, ladies. Wash your hands. And with soap, hot water, it does the trick every time. And also keeping a little handy Purell in your bag, a little just hand sanitizer. That also is good. Another thing I keep in my travel bag when I'm always traveling is over-the-counter medication, specifically Advil and Tylenol. Also, you might consider anti-allergens, Benadryl or Claritin if you need that. It's nice to have just a few over-the-counter medications in your bag in case something happens, you get sick, in case you do get sick or you just don't feel well. I was on a flight to Albuquerque and I had a migraine hit me like no other. And I get bad migraines. When I get a migraine, the only cure I have for it is I have to go to a dark room and then I have to fall asleep and sleep it off. Otherwise, it just destroys me. And so I got this on a flight to Albuquerque, got there, got to the place that I was staying. I was holding it all back and I yacked. I vomited right in the front yard and then went into a bed and fell asleep because I didn't have Advil or Tylenol. I think they'll give you Tylenol on some planes, but you got to, you know, talk to the flight attendants, and it's best just to keep that stuff on you. Also in your bag, and that's why, ladies, it might even be helpful, instead of a purse, taking a small backpack or a larger purse, put a little light jacket in there. Sometimes it gets cold on planes. I like to travel comfy. I don't like to be all bundled up in clothes when I travel, so a light jacket can be helpful. Bring also spare earbuds, you know, when you're listening to entertainment devices. Just one, even two in your bag is helpful in case one is on the fritz or you can't find one of them. And that keeps you from having to pay to rent it from the airline. I know some airlines now, what they're doing, instead of a movie screen in the back of your seat, they just tell you, use your own personal device and log into the internet and you can watch a movie or watch TV, which also means you should pack an extra, make sure you have a charger with you in your bag. And one thing, if you're watching it on your cell phone, you might want to invest in, if you're a frequent traveler, you might want to invest in this, is a chargeable USB battery. You plug it in at home and it can recharge your phone one or two times and it just has a little USB port. It's a portable battery. Awesome thing to have. So that way you can watch entertainment on your cell phone or be able to power your cell phone up if it starts to drain. Don't forget to switch it to airplane mode. Above all else, I mean, it's the law, I guess, but it doesn't really affect the plane. You're going to drain your battery. Your phone's looking for a signal. It can't find it. Put it in airplane mode. It's not going to work. You don't need it to. You can save your batteries. And finally, you might want to take earplugs and a mask if you want to fall asleep and nap. I cannot sleep on planes. I am the absolute worst at that. And this is a guy, I mean, I've flown San Francisco to Tel Aviv, 14 hours, 16 hours, LA to Sydney, Australia. Can't sleep a wink. So those long flights destroy me. And I might fall asleep for 5 minutes, but I just can't do it. If you can, get a window seat, get a mask, get earplugs, and go nighty-night. You can use your bundle, if it's cold, put on your jacket, or you can take your bundled-up jacket in your bag and make a little makeshift pillow out of that. Other tips to make your airline travel helpful. With your luggage, if you do have to check luggage, get a brightly colored luggage tag. All the bags look the same. They all look the same unless you want to go with the bag with the floral print bag, popular with a certain age demographic. Otherwise, they all look the same. You might miss your bag or someone might grab your bag. So Amazon, they've got these. They're pretty cheap. They're big, bright orange tags. You can't miss them. They don't fall off. And you don't have to worry about those little chintzy paper tags at the airport that go on your bag, because those can rip off. I don't like them. Big, thick, bright orange luggage tags, highly recommend. That way you don't have to be fretting, is this my bag? Is this my bag? Once you see it, then you know it's there. So tag your bags up with that, so people know your bag, or if it gets lost, they're able to identify it quickly. The airline can find it and can get it back to you as soon as they can. When you're choosing a seat on a plane, if you don't fly Southwest, you fly on an airplane where you get to pick a seat. A good website I go to is seatguru.com. You can look on your confirmation form on your flight itinerary. It'll usually tell you what kind of plane you're on, whether it's a Boeing or an Airbus, and what the model number is. You go to seatguru.com, S-E-A-T-G-U-R-U, and you can just punch in the model airplane that you're on. And it has the different seats, actually, and it rates them based on how comfortable they are. Usually, red is a seat you definitely want to avoid by the bathroom, doesn't recline, has problems. Yellow is an okay seat. Blank seats are just whatever, they're average seats. And green are the really, really good seats. You want to get those early. For example, when I was flying from San Francisco to Tel Aviv, and you got to check in, well, you got to book your flight as early as possible to get these, especially on long-haul flights. When I flew to Tel Aviv, I got to sit in the bulkhead seat, which is awesome. Because here's the dilemma, especially on the really long flights. And if you like to sleep, so you can either get by the window and rest your head on the window and be able to fall asleep, but then you got to jump over people to get to the bathroom. Or you can sit on the aisle, which is my preferred seat. You can use the restroom, but you don't have anything to lean up against. With the bulkhead seats, when you find those, you can sit next to the window, and then to get up, there's like 6 to 7 inches in front of you in a wall. So there's no one leaning their seat back into you. I once flew to Brisbane, Australia, and I made the mistake of flying to Brisbane instead of Sydney because they put me on the smallest trans-Pacific airplane I've ever been on in my life. It was like flying on a 737 is what it felt like. And so I was flying. Guy in front of me leans his seat back, and I just felt like claustrophobic. I'm like, okay, this is what it's going to be. Time to buck up, old chum. Kind of a, I guess that was, maybe that was a 1960s Batman Adam West reference there. Old chum. So check the flight first and make sure you get a decent seat there. When it comes to reclining seats, this is my thought about that. Don't do it. I think they should just take that out of planes. I mean, whenever someone does that in front of me, I'm not mad at them. I know they have the right to do that, but I'm always like, really? Well, okay. I try very hard. If I recline, it's like half an inch. I just think it's just not fair because now that area in front of you, that 3 inches, it's double booked. Who owns it? Can I put my knees out and my hand out? Do I own that? Or does the guy behind me who leans the seat back? It's kind of double booked. So then someone leans back against you, you're tempted to inflict that damage on your neighbor by leaning your seat back against them. And so I just think we should all have some kind of a truce where we all just don't lean our seats back anymore. They should just take it out of the planes. That way, I think everyone will just be more comfortable overall and not have to deal with that. Also, remember this etiquette when you're sitting in a plane. The armrests are for the guy in the middle seat. If somebody's stuck in the middle seat, they get the armrests. That's just, they should be allowed to have the armrest, because if you're in the aisle, you get one armrest and you get the room of the aisle. The window, you get one armrest and you can lean your head against the window. The middle guy's got nothing. He has nothing. Give him something. Let him have those armrests. If he wants them, if they decline, well, hey, fair game then. If you don't want it, I'll take it. But do that. So buy your tickets early. There's no magical formula about getting cheap tickets. I've never really believed in that. I mean, if you get really close to the flight, the price will go up a ton. But if you buy early, you can get a decent seat. Check in early for a good seat and good boarding. When you get to the airport, if you drive your car and park it in a parking garage, take a photo of the parking space and the number associated with it. That way you're not lost trying to find where your car is when you go back. Also, you might want to look into if you travel more than twice a year, I think it's worthwhile for you to get TSA PreCheck. I love TSA PreCheck. I am not a fan of TSA, because studies have shown 95% of the time they cannot detect dangerous items going through security. And I just feel like it's a violation of my civil rights. But I do like TSA PreCheck. I do enjoy it. The line is usually pretty short compared to the average check-in. You don't have to take your shoes off. You don't have to take your belt off. I just like that. I just go, and when I get to an airport, I never have to stress about being there an hour early. If you don't have pre-check, you should probably get there at least an hour early, if not an hour and 10 minutes. That way you have 30 minutes to check your bag, if you have to check a bag. Because if your bag gets on, if you check your bag less than 40 minutes before the plane leaves, there is a decent chance it may not make it to your destination. So hour and 10 minutes if you're checking luggage, an hour if you are, you know, 1 hour if you're just have a carry-on bag. But honestly, for me, I've sometimes gotten to my flight 45 minutes before it leaves, and then I get through security and I'm there right at boarding 30 minutes before the plane leaves. So that's just what I've gone through. TSA Pre is great. It's, I think it's like $85 for 5 years. It's $17 a year. You fly twice a year. You spent an extra $8 to avoid the hassle of the security lines or longer line. I think it's worthwhile. Also, with your boarding pass, save it to your phone. Don't rely on internet to get it. If you print it, great. Have a printed boarding pass. Make sure, though, you hang on to that. It has personal information of yours on it. You want to shred that or destroy it later. If you put it on your phone, I like Apple Wallet or just saving it as a PDF so you can just keep it on your phone. But make sure you have a spare charger because you don't want your phone to die and it's got your boarding pass. But I shouldn't say ladies. That's sexist. Oftentimes, I'm sorry, that's just the name of the game. Statistically, on average, most flight attendants I meet are women, but the nice individuals, employees, personnel at the flight counter will probably be, they'll be able to reprint your boarding pass if you lost it or your phone died, but you don't have to go through that. When you get there, though, be sure to check your gate number. What I always do if I'm there early, especially if it's on a layover and I've got time to kill, I go to the gate first to make sure that this is the gate, because sometimes the screens, the displays, they can be wrong. So I go to the gate first, say, okay, this is my flight. All right, good. And sometimes I don't want to sit there because it's crowded. Everyone's waiting for the plane to leave. So what I do is my little tip for you all here in San Diego, if you're ever here waiting for a flight, if you fly Southwest and you go to Terminal 1, Gates 1, 1A, and 2, everyone's waiting to get on Terminal Gates 1 and 2, but Gate 1A, there's never a flight leaving there. I never see it. It's like an empty special little room, and I go there to have my little quiet time with the Lord, my little quiet time watching YouTube on my phone, whatever it might be, just to decompress for a bit. But if you do find a quiet place to chill out before your flight leaves, set an alarm on your phone to remind you to go to the gate for boarding. I remember once in Sacramento, I missed my flight because I got wrapped up in something and I just didn't get it to the gate. And it was an unfortunate phone call to have my wife saying, turns out I'm going to be home tomorrow. Sorry about that. So be sure to do that. When you are on the flight, just try to be polite to other people. Just remember, you know, you're in a metal tube, 30,000 feet in the air. You're all trying to get to the same place. Practice as fellow Christians to one another and to everyone, just to be kind and gracious and to know it's not the end of the world. If there's a crying baby, look, they got to go see someone's grandma. That child, they don't want to be there any more than you do, probably. And you know what? You're not going to die. You're going to be okay. Honestly, the people that drive me up the wall, you want to know what drives me up the wall, ladies and gentlemen? It is not crying children. It is their adult equivalent, drunk adults. And this always happens to me when I fly to Las Vegas, or I have a, because a lot of times in San Diego, it's not a huge airport. So I usually have to do a layover in Las Vegas or Phoenix to continue on my flight. And the flights to Vegas are, they're usually the worst. Everyone's got to get in their Vegas mood before they get on the plane, and they're all hyped up and have already had too much to drink. And that, I'm like, you are a grown adult. They were clearly drunk and going on and on about Vegas loudly, about the girls getting together for our birthday party. Woo! And like, come celebrate my big 53. I'm like, you are a 53-year-old woman. What are you doing acting like a 21-year-old, an obnoxious 21-year-old, I would add, here on this plane right now with all of us? So be kind with the flight attendants. Don't yell or shout or be rude. I find to get their attention, I try to just, you know, instead of snapping your fingers or yelling, I just raise one or two fingers in the air. The call light is fine, but sometimes that can be annoying for them. I just try to raise my fingers and raise my eyebrows to get attention. But otherwise, just being polite there, because if you're nice to them, they can be very nice to you. Maybe give you a little extra drink or, you know, help you out with stuff. Pass it forward. Big pet peeves when people travel: keep your darn shoes on. I don't mind if you're wearing flip-flops, but don't take off your shoes. It's weird. Don't put, if you have long hair, ladies and possibly gentlemen, don't put your hair over your headrest so that it drapes behind your seat, because then someone's trying to watch a television and your hair is blocking their TV monitor and they don't want to be weird and tapping the shoulder, you know, can you move your hair? Just try to be considerate of others around you. And also, if you're on a much longer flight, like I do, like the 10, 12, 15 hour flights, keys here are to stay active, roll your ankles, stretch your legs, get up and walk up and down once every 2 hours. It's just good for health. And so you avoid deep vein thrombosis. You don't have to worry about clots. And stay hydrated. That air in the cabin is a lower humidity than it would be outside. So you'll want to drink lots of water through the flight, and then just keep an eye on the bathroom just to make sure that you can catch that between the lulls and that you have your sanitary wipes to use, because I don't touch anything in that bathroom. Goodness. But it's still, try to make sure you have your sanitary wipes and your Purell so you can keep your hands and stay clean with all of that. And finally, let's say you get there. Let's say you're on your flight and something happens. Let's say you get a delay and it's just chaos at the airport. Here's my last tip. Everyone's going to rush to the customer service counter to try to get help. And they're all going to rush over there, and it's going to be a line of like 20 people trying to get rebooked on their flights and get help. This happened to me in Oklahoma. I was leaving Oklahoma to go to Budapest for the Catholic Answers River Cruise. And we got delayed by a huge thunderstorm in Oklahoma. And when you miss a flight here, I ended up being about 12 hours delayed in Budapest. I was supposed to be there for breakfast at the cruise. I just barely shambled in for dinner that night. But it could have been worse. I could have been delayed 24 hours if I had not called customer service. I called, I think it was American Airlines. I called American Airlines customer service. I think it was United. It was United. Called them and said, hey, I got my computer. This is another flight. I'm going to be delayed here in Oklahoma. Can you put me on this other flight? And so just by calling and doing that, I was able to be one of the, they had another flight available and they said, okay, we got three seats. One of them's for Horn. And so it's a lot easier than going to a customer service counter. Get on your phone, call the customer service number. They'll move you through pretty quickly. And especially if you need to rebook, it can be helpful if you have your computer. You can just say to them, this is a flight I think would be good. Is there room on it? Here's the flight number. Here's the schedule. And so, yeah, instead of dealing with all of that, you can just call them and remedy things. Well, I hope that was helpful for you all, wherever you travel, or even if you're just interested in plane travel to hear from my experience of going all sorts of different places. I hope in the future, you, Mr. or Mrs. Podcast listener, I'll get to meet you at a future speaking event. My upcoming events would take place in Fort Wayne, Indiana, Salt Lake City, Utah, Charleston, South Carolina, might be going to Yuma, Arizona here. And then I'll be at SEEK, Indianapolis, Indiana, for the big SEEK conference. So if you're a listener, would enjoy seeing you, greeting you in real life. Maybe we could take a picture and put it on the Council of Trent Patreon page. If you'd like to see some of that and be able to support our podcast, once again, do visit TrentHornPodcast.com. $5 donations always help us, or higher, to keep the podcast going. Once again, I hope this was helpful for you. I pray that you have a safe travel, safe trips, wherever you are going this upcoming holiday season as Thanksgiving nears. And as I always say, I hope that you have a blessed day.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.